Hear that? It's the call of the Crave. And when the Crave calls, you know what to do. Try the $5 Bacon Bundle. Because the only thing better than a White Castle slider is a White Castle slider topped with crispy hickory smoked bacon. So pick any two of either the Bacon Cheese Slider, 1921 Bacon Cheese Slider, or Chicken Bacon Ranch Slider. And also get a small fry for just $5 with the $5 Bacon Bundle. White Castle. Follow your Crave.
Hey, Keurig coffee drinkers. Need a cold coffee with a bold flavor? Dunkin' Cold K-Cup Pods were specially crafted for cold coffee. Brew over ice straight out of the Keurig coffee maker for smooth, delicious Dunkin' taste you know and love. Find your next Dunkin' Cold coffee in the roasted coffee aisle.
Hi, I'm Mike Birbiglia. And I feel ambitious about being Conan O'Brien's friend.
As if we're not already friendly people.
I'm looking to take it to the next level.
Oh.
Oh.
Fall is here, hear the yell. Back to school, ring the bell. Brand new shoes, walking blues. Climb the fence, books and pens. I can tell that we are gonna be friends. Yes, I can tell that we are gonna be friends.
Hey there. Welcome to Conan O'Brien Needs a Friend. Joined by my compadres, compatriots, Sona Movsesyan. There you go. Took a second. And then Matt Gourley. How are you?
I'm pretty good. How are you?
I'm doing all right. I think I'm doing fine.
Yeah.
You know?
How are you, Sona?
I'm okay.
Just okay?
Yeah, I'm fine. Is it my mic on?
No, it's not. Your mic isn't on.
Did you do that on purpose?
I didn't do anything.
It's okay. It's okay.
Wait. Eduardo
messed up.
Eduardo, what happened there?
The one time I go drink some water. Drink some water.
What do you mean, water?
I was like, oh, I forgot her mic was not on.
Were we recording?
Her mic wasn't on. That's
we are recording. We were recording. We are recording.
What if, you know, this is why you lost your job as an air traffic controller.
Because he kept turning their mics off.
I'm sorry, Sona.
No. You're supposed to be a professional organization, and Eduardo here, who I admire, who built this studio.
I know. You gave me a gift because I don't think he has anything to harp on you about. And now he didn't turn my mic on.
I do have something good to talk about.
Huh.
The other night, some friends of my wife and I were having dinner at like kind of a fancy restaurant, and it was in Beverly Hills, which we never go into that part of town. Like, I'm not a guy that goes to restaurants in Beverly Hills.
You're not a BH guy.
I'm not. And so we go there and we have this really nice meal with our friends. And I'm like, oh, this is great. This place is terrific. And then we're about to leave. And this gentleman comes up to me who I think works with the restaurant. And he says, Mr. O'Brien, I'm here to walk you past the paparazzi. And I said, what? Because I'm like, what are you talking about? Paparazzi? That's not, you know. And he's like, no, I'm here to make sure that you get through the paparazzi. Okay. You know, I'll walk you back to your car. And I'm like with my wife, like, what? That's weird. Okay. We walk outside. Nobody. I mean, not just no paparazzi, no people. It was like they were shooting Omega Man, you know, like a post-apocalyptic. And now that I have the added thing of like, this guy's with me and he's kind of acting like, right this way, just keep moving. I'm like, what are you talking about? Hey, it's me. I'm not someone who's so funny. Why don't they leave me alone? But it was so funny. And this guy never acknowledged.
Never?
Well, he never acknowledged that, oh, I thought there was, or I just assumed because you're a known person that there would be, you know, and I was assuming that he knew that.
Oh, no.
You know, but he never let on. He was just like, keep right this way. Which one's your car?
Wow.
And
he committed the whole way.
I thought it was so perfect. It was so me, like, Mr. Brian, I'm here to help you through the paparazzi. Huh? What? Well, if you say so. Doors fly open.
Tumbleweed.
Tumbleweed went by with a long lens camera, but not aimed at me. Oh. It was really funny.
For your birthday, we should get you paparazzi.
I think that'd be nice.
Yeah,
that would be.
Real paparazzi?
Yeah. No.
Or fake people with
no, because real paparazzi wouldn't come.
Yeah, these are people you pay with like a press thing in their hat.
Yeah.
I did do a thing that was really funny. There was a period in my life when sometimes there would be people around, and I wanted to normalize that for my kids. So what I would do is when my kids were little, I told them, I taught them this bit, but we would walk out and they'd be, it'd be at some restaurant, you know, that, where there aren't anybody. There's nobody there. There's no paparazzi. But we would walk out and my kids who were little, this is like my daughter was like maybe 7 and my son was 5. They would both fan out and say, back up, leave them alone. And there was nobody there. And they, it was fun because it was A, making fun of me about no one gives a shit about our dad. And then, but I just love to see little kids going, please, he's a person. Give him room. But I don't know where this guy got it in his head. Maybe he just assumed like, well, we've had other famous people here and it's a mob scene out. You know, we just had, you know, whatever, Travis.
Embarrassed that there wasn't a crowd, but also embarrassing that you're making this guy work for nothing.
I tipped this gentleman because I felt like he's just walked me.
That's why he's doing it.
I know, but I just felt bad. I didn't know what to think. I thought please, I'm here to help you. It's a mom scene. You know,
Mr. President.
Yeah. We just had Taylor Swift and Travis were here. And, you know, we know how it can be. So we're going to walk you to your car.
What did it?
Car! I always, in those moments, when things are really quiet, I always want a bird to go by. Car! Yeah. Like a mocking bird.
Would it have been worse if there was just like one person there? And they, I've been with you when paparazzi and they, because there's nothing about your life that's exciting.
Oh, I'm always doing...
So they're like, hey, what do you think about, you know, someone buying a horse?
Yeah, they always have to try and think of something, and they don't have a question ready to go for me.
Yeah.
So they're always, you know, stock market? Interest? What did you buy at the CVS? Oh, I got those caps that you put on a toothbrush that sort of keep other things from brushing up against it. And then you just know TMZ's like, Conan sucks. Bang. Right this way, Mr. O'Brien. We got your back.
A horse goes by. Hey, it's Conan O'Brien. Used to be on the television.
And then the paparazzi goes, wow, a talking horse. They start taking pictures of him. All right, let's get into it.
Yeah.
My guest today is a hilarious comedian. He truly is. He's not just a comedian. He's a writer. He's a director. He's an actor. I'm a great admirer of this gentleman. His latest one-man show, The Old Man and the Pool, is now available to stream on Netflix. You have to watch it. You really do. I'm excited he's with us today. Mike Birbiglia, welcome.
Here's what happened last time. I'm going to bring the listeners up to speed. I challenged you on the idea of the concept of the show that you want to be friends.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, I don't have your contact information. Mm-hmm. You said it and then you bleeped it.
Mm-hmm.
But then we were in touch.
Mm-hmm.
I just want to read a text chain that we had because I'm, in addition to being a second time guest on the show, I'm an avid listener. I loved the Stephen Wright episode.
Oh, thank you.
So good.
Yeah, he was wonderful. I texted
Conan and I said, Stephen Wright's the reason I got into comedy. It was the best interview I've ever heard of Stephen Wright because he laughed. I'd never heard him laugh before. And I've been a fan of his. I feel like I've seen every interview. So you like killed him. And then I wrote this to you and you wrote, I'm actually in New York right now, cranking out pods, taking meetings. I'm in Midtown. My daughter shows up today, but leaves Monday. If there's a chance to grab coffee, it'd be nice to catch up.
Yeah.
So that was like a friendship move. Mm-hmm. We had never had coffee.
I tried to take it to the next level.
Did you really say cranking out pods?
I'm cranking out pods, but that didn't mean podcast. Did you guys know that I manufacture instant coffee pods? And then, so I make a decaf pod that's quite popular.
That's the best version of what I was imagining.
Yeah.
You don't know about copods?
Copods are huge.
Copods are massive in Brazil.
And guess what? Starbucks is about to carry them.
No, actually, in Brazil, they drink copods that are manufactured here.
Yes.
Oh,
by
wow.
Conan at his house.
Yeah, and coffee that's grown naturally in Brookline, Massachusetts. I have a coffee plantation in Brookline, Mass.
Copods are 90% dust.
Yeah.
Well, we're going to get that up to 94% dust. Because
the profit margin on Copods is extraordinary. Like, yeah. You've never seen anything like it.
Yeah, because Brookline, Massachusetts, and I also have a plantation in Newton, Mass. These are not good places to grow coffee, so I get very few beans. So that's why we need to supplement with dust.
Okay.
Yeah. Anyway, it's
for
a long story.
Their slogan is, for every bean, we'll give you a bag of dust.
Yes. Beat that slogan. I've challenged Madison Avenue to beat that slogan, and they can't do it. They get their best people on it.
Okay, there's more to the text. There's more to the text.
Okay.
By the way, I'm Team Sona today.
Yeah,
Team Sona mug.
Hey.
I'm also Team Matt.
Oh, thanks.
Those mugs really, they don't went missing.
I think you're missing the point, though, that he's Team Sona and Team Matt. And
I don't see a Team Matt mug.
I've never seen one.
Okay. So you go, I'm here podcasting.
Yeah.
And then you wrote, text me when you're back and I'll ghost you.
Yes.
And then I wrote, I've been ghosted by much bigger celebrities than you.
Yep.
It bounces off of me. And you wrote, it'll sting. You'll see. And then,
God, I'm killing myself here.
And then you said, I'll be back mid-June, because I was trying to get you to come back on Working It Out, my podcast, which I want. I'm still going to try to get you to come back on.
Yep.
And then when you were back, you ghosted me.
Yeah.
And it did sting.
Whoa.
Yeah.
So today, what I want to do is engage, try to get you back on my podcast, and also for pods.
Okay.
Coffee. Coffee pods.
Listen, so you were waiting for me to reach out to you when I came back in June.
No, I texted you then.
Oh.
Yeah.
And what did you say? How did you know I was in town?
Because you had written mid-June around the 13th. I wrote, okay, perfect, can't wait.
Yeah.
So then...
But when I hear can't wait, that...
Don't put this back on him.
No.
Don't put this on him.
But listen, when I hear can't wait... That just is too irresistible. When someone says, I can't wait, that makes me think, oh, you're going to fucking wait. You know what I mean? Brabiglia.
Cruel.
Right? Yes. Cruel. Oh, this is the real me. You want the real me?
This is why Sona's so hard on you.
Yes, yeah. That is exactly why.
Sona, you know me. The minute I saw can't wait, there was part of me that was like.
There's certain things you just hate that really like bug you.
One of the things you wrote is, let's try to make that work. All I ask is that I feature prominently in your next one-man show.
Yes.
That's good.
This is good. Don't you think this is better than meeting up with me in person?
Yeah, this is better.
These are classic quips.
And I wrote, yes, you're the second man. Top billing. You'll have to audition.
You know what? I am going to be, this is the problem. I'm going to be coming to, but I don't know when this airs, but.
After we've gotten back.
After we've gotten back. So I will be in Brooklyn. They said cranking out pods
yeah.
At the Brooklyn Academy of Music with my team here, Team Sona and Team Gorley. But that's like a quick turnaround. That's 2 days and then gone. Do you ever get over to Brooklyn?
That's where I live.
I knew that.
I was just trying to grind it in. I made it so clear because I was going to take you for a nice dinner at Lucali Pizzeria in the neighborhood.
He's got the days free.
Oh, he has the days free.
We could do the days.
Yeah, let's do the days.
Do you want to do the days?
Yeah, I want to do the days.
So by the time people, listen, you know what's great? By the time people hear this, I will have been to Brooklyn and ghosted you again.
Oh, no.
And it will have stung.
Oh, this will sting so much. Because you'll see me as I'm ghosting you. You'll see me in the glass, in the pizzeria, and you'll be outside. It'll be shivering cold because it's November.
I had a Sona question. I know that I'm coming in with questions, and that's awkward.
Oh,
I love this.
Wow. I'm holding up a little note card of questions.
I'm loving this so far. Okay. This is delightful.
My Sona question is, with Conan, you go so hard on him. What is too far? Have you ever said something that's too mean? And then it's like, what? Like we got to cut that out. It's too mean.
I have to say, you guys could tell me, I don't think we've ever cut out anything that you guys, when you guys go after me, I don't think we've ever cut out anything.
And we've never cut out anything when you, don't act like you don't come after us.
Oh,
yeah.
There's no limit.
My record is clear. It's all in the history books. Do you know what I mean? It's like World War II footage. We've all seen it. Yes, I go.
It's like World War II footage.
There's no limit.
It's not like World War II footage.
It is.
Yeah.
It's
you've completely misunderstood World War II.
Really?
And footage.
I thought World War II was a lot of passive aggressive bickering.
No.
Between
no.
Stalin, Hitler, and Churchill.
No. My God, Conan, how did you miss this? You read history.
Wasn't it a feud between podcasts? Well, now I have to go back and look at these again.
Back then it was radio. It was passive aggression between radio hosts.
Yeah.
Orson Welles was involved.
Yeah. I don't know. To answer your question, well, Sona, I mean, Matt, you would know because you edit this
thing. I don't think I have ever cut anything you've said to him. I think I've cut one or two exchanges with you and me, and not because they were like bad. It was more like they just, for whatever reason, took the air out or didn't land or something like that.
Right, that would be your fault.
It would have been.
Yeah.
If anything, there have been moments where I was like, I should have gone harder on you. Well, there's more I should have said.
Well, the one I was listening to the other day, I admire this. I do ads in my podcast. I have to say what's in the ad. I don't know what the hell you guys are doing.
I know.
Like, you're doing an ad for like Conan TV or something. And at the end of it, Sona had made fun of it so much. I was like, does this even exist?
We did an
Sona's
ad.
Sona's like, no one wants to watch that, Conan.
You know what we did? We did an ad.
Oh my God.
We did an ad the other day. Mike, this is true. We did an ad the other day. And it's, you know, I read the, sometimes I'm reading these cold and we get this, they slide this piece of paper in front of me. I'm like, what's this one? And I just start going and I say like, you know, if you want to monitor your cat's, if you want to monitor your cat's health, this device uses lasers and ultralight sound to measure the quantity, quality, and size of your cat's poops, basically, and then gives you up-to-date analysis of what your cat's health could be in the future. And then I went on a long rant about the fall of Western civilization.
Yeah, fair enough. I don't know on this show where the ads begin or end.
No, and I've always thought...
what has been advertised?
Do you know what?
I don't know what the call to action is.
My ads are a dare to advertise on Conan O'Brien Needs a Friend. It's like, if you can handle this, advertise.
I think what's happening is rival companies are paying for the other company's ads so that you will do damage to their business.
Yes, it's an enemy. It's an enemy move.
It's a smart move.
It's like World War II in that way.
Exactly. Yes.
It is just like in World War II.
He learned it from World War II tactics.
When Churchill paid for ads that were pushing what Hitler wanted. It is so funny, the idea of Toyota desperately plotting to have me do a Ford ad.
Yeah. It's brilliant.
They know, this will get them. Yeah. It's like, this will really cripple Ford.
It's like what they wanted was 30 seconds of an advertisement, and what they get is 5 minutes of nothing. I have more questions.
Okay, more questions. Keep it going.
So last night I ran into Conan out to dinner.
Yep.
It was like a Curb Your Enthusiasm. I mean, Curb Your Enthusiasm is all these scenarios where you run into celebrities in Hollywood. And I witnessed it last night. It was with Jimmy Kimmel.
Yep.
Martin Short.
Yep.
We run into Conan.
Yep.
With Phil Rosenthal.
Yep.
Scott Ian from Anthrax
and his lovely wife. And it was Patton Oswalt.
Yep.
And his wife, Meredith. And
your wife.
Yeah, and my wife, Liza. I'm getting on an airplane. I was in Chicago to interview the Nirvana fellas, Novoselic and Grohl. And then I'm flying back and I'm getting on the plane and this gentleman with a fascinating beard gets on, sits opposite me, and I'm like, oh, I know who this is. And he says to me, hi, Conan. Yeah, Scott Ian, Anthrax. I played on your show. And I went, oh, cool. So we chat the entire way about the metal, but also going back to punk. Ramones, his childhood. It would have been almost a great podcast, just chatting with him across the aisle. And then he said, hey, I'm good friends with Patton. And I'm like, yeah, I know. I'm texting with Patton all the time. I've known Patton Oswalt forever. The next thing I know, there's one of those text chains where it's like a dinner is happening. And I keep thinking, is this ever going to happen? And then finally the day arrives, November 1st, we're going to go out to this dinner. So we go out, we're there, we're having a really good time, and then the next thing I know, these figures are looming over us at our table, and it's you, Mr. Kimmel, and Mr. Short, Marty Short, and then we all get up, and then we're all standing in the middle of the restaurant, pretty much doing bits and stuff.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, Conan leaned into me and he goes, "You're coming on the podcast tomorrow. Just remember, it's about me."
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
No.
I did.
Yeah, true story.
Yeah. And then sure enough, he shows up with questions.
I know. I love that he's done homework. This is prepared.
This is my big question. So when we do our podcast, we have the interview, and then the moment the person leaves, after we're like, "That was great. That was going to be wonderful." Yeah. And then they leave and they go, "What'd you think?" So my question is, like, this time or last time that I was on, what's going to be the thing you say when I leave? What's going to be the real dirt? And I want to know the real thing.
Okay. Well, first of all, we have to get to the end before we know that.
Yeah.
Oh.
Because.
Can we circle back to it?
Yeah, of course.
Okay.
I'm already on board because he has my mug. So I think this is a great interview.
Thanks, Sona.
Well,
yeah.
Well, also, I'm gonna say something. I love it when a guest comes in. I'm a huge fan of yours. You know that.
Thanks.
And a big admirer of what you've accomplished and what you've been able to carve out for yourself. But I also love that you came in and you're so proactive that you're stirring it up. You're asking us questions. That, to me, makes for a better podcast. I love that.
Mm-hmm.
So ambitious. Already, ambitious. Ambitious.
Came in with an agenda. That's
yeah. Great. Yeah.
Is it because it makes it more about you, though? Is that what you mean?
Yes. Yeah, I think so. I think that makes me happy. And
also, in advance, I followed Matt and Sona on Instagram also.
And God bless.
One of them may have followed me back.
I'm going to do it now.
I'm not sure. Do
you remember last time that you popped back on the Zoom?
Yeah.
Is that why you bring this up?
No.
Okay. Yeah, because we recorded over Zoom last time, and you popped back in the Zoom while we were doing our download. So yes. I like this. This is great.
I wasn't gone, and you kept talking.
No, we will we'll give you a full assessment afterwards.
Okay.
We'll be honest
about
it.
Okay, great.
Sona, what would you do with $100 billion? Seriously.
Oh, I would buy a country.
Okay. I would buy just a ton of yachts and private jets, and I would duct tape them all together and then just have it go in a circle in the Pacific Ocean.
What?
Yeah. I don't know, just to be a total jerk. Anyway, there is a correct answer.
Oh.
And it's build incredible cities in fantastical locations while competing with your friends to be the biggest tycoon in the world. What do you think of that answer?
That's better than mine.
Yep, and mine, which you can do with Monopoly Go, the hit mobile game that's so much fun, it's been downloaded over 150 million times. It's the fun of classic Monopoly on the go, anytime, anywhere, endless new surprises like tons of boards and crazy minigames. You can team up with your chums on community chess and tournaments to get big money, or you can go after their fortune changing rent on your properties or even pulling a bank heist on them. So much fun. It's incredible. So start building up your billions today. Go download Monopoly Go, now free on the App Store and Google Play. You know, it's only a matter of time until your check engine light comes on, which could equal an expensive repair bill, and a new engine can cost up to $6,000.
Don't I know it?
But this is why you need this product I'm about to mention right now.
Okay.
CarShield. Mm. CarShield offers plans with low monthly rates that you can pay for your expensive repairs on your out-of-warranty car, truck, or SUV. It's so nice to have that protection of CarShield.
I know.
I believe. That's my belief. Some people have other beliefs, maybe religious beliefs. I think CarShield. CarShield plans provide protection on up to 5,000 major parts and systems, including items like transmission, engine, even your entertainment system.
Mm.
Just call CarShield and choose the mechanic to do the work. CarShield administrators will handle the rest and save you money. Look, I saw your car today. You've got a beautiful car, but you've got to haul your family around in this car. This is a vital piece of machinery for you. You need CarShield.
I do. And, you know, I don't take care of my cars very well. So CarShield, it would definitely come in.
You know, and also with their A rating from the BBB, don't ask me, CarShield is the name you can trust to save you money on covered auto repairs. Now's the time to make the smart choice to protect yourself from the sky-high auto repair bills. Visit CarShield.com/Conan. Save 20% today. Again, that's CarShield.com/Conan to save 20%. Visit CarShield.com/Conan
to lock in your price today.
If you're being honest, no one really knows what you do for work, especially if you're in B2B. That's a business doing business with other businesses.
Oh, I didn't know you knew what that was.
I know exactly what that is. B2B, I use that all the time. Businesses doing businesses with other businesses. Fortunately, LinkedIn has a network of professionals who get what you do, and you can reach the right people who matter most to your company. LinkedIn has over 1 billion members on its platform, including 70 million decision makers.
That's good.
Since LinkedIn members are regularly updating their work history, you can precisely build a target audience by job title, industry, company, and more. Start reaching the right people for your, get ready, B2B business with LinkedIn ads. Gets even better because LinkedIn will give you a $100 credit on your next campaign.
That's crazy.
Yeah, just go to linkedin.com/teamcoco to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/teamcoco. Terms and conditions apply. I get to say this again. Listen, LinkedIn, the place to be, right?
That's cool.
Business to business.
That's really cool.
I have to say, and it's one of the reasons I really love doing the podcast, over the years of doing a late night show, and I'm just going to remind viewers that Mr. Birbiglia, when you were a young lad, started out as an intern on our show.
In the 90s.
In the 90s. And he was an intern on the program. And then all these years when we were at Rockefeller Center, the old show. And then it's kind of cool to contrast. That was a show where I would talk to multiple people a night. And you had... So it was a volume business. And there in the postmortem, we really would sometimes get into it.
Oh, yeah.
About, oh, my God, can you believe what that guest did?
Can you say any of them?
I don't like to hurt people. I really don't. I really don't like to hurt people's feelings.
What have you been doing to us for years now?
Well, this is familiarity breeds contempt. So I know you guys. I see you every day, so I have no fear. But
you know what's funny is about my interning on your show is that part of the reason that I became a stand-up comedian is because of interning on your show. So, like, for example, I would ask Mike Sweeney and Brian Stack and all these writers for the show, how would one become a writer for Late Night with Conan O'Brien? Because that's what I want to do. That's my dream. And they and their answers were, I did stand-up. I did improv. I went back to college, just did stand-up and improv. Yeah. And I did stand-up. I was like, all right, this is going pretty well. That's all right.
Went better than pretty well. I think it went spectacularly well.
It didn't go well for a while, though. I mean, it went okay. Now it's good.
No, I was always surprised by the number of people that would come up to me and say, I'm really interested in doing what you're doing. And I would say, oh, you know, well, what are you doing? Like, are you writing comedy? Are you in an improv troupe? Are you doing stand-up? What are you doing? And they'd be like, oh, no, I'm not doing any of that. I just want to do...
Give it to me.
Yeah, I would like that when you're done with it. And but I would say the podcast, it is... I mean, I'm hard-pressed to think of a podcast where I haven't enjoyed talking to the people because we don't make nearly as many of them. And if there's someone I don't want to talk to, I just don't talk to them.
Yeah.
And so it's... It feels like a really nice. I'm hard pressed to think of a time when someone's left here and I've thought, boy, I really disliked talking to that person. I usually feel like I learned something,
and it also like I feel like it lets you do goofball things without it feeling out of place because it's much longer,
right,
than like a 5-minute interview. Like one of the hardest I've ever laughed at this podcast. I don't remember which episode, the Yay Boo episode.
Oh, Yay Boo.
Oh, yeah.
Yay Boo, oh, yeah. Yay Boo. It's lots of fun to do. If you like it, holler yay. And if you don't, you holler boo.
Could you give context to people who didn't hear that originally?
Yeah. Okay, Will. It was my grandfather had some old, like, 45s in the attic, and we found one, and it was this singer in, like, the 50s singing a song called Yay Boo, Yay Boo. And I remembered once... I can do it now on the podcast and it feels like it's in place.
There was one night on the late night show when I'm out there, and I'm really just at this point I've done like 35,000 hours of television, but I'm doing the monologue in the late night show for NBC, and I said something, and the audience mock went, and then I said, of course, so and so's in the news, and the audience went, boo, and I went, yay, boo, it's lots of fun to do if you like it, holla yay, and if you don't, holla boo, and I remembered my producer. Everyone was like, what the fuck was that?
But that goes back to what you're saying of like, people come up to you and they go like, I want to do what you do. And people say that to me as a stand-up all the time. And I'm like, you got to do it so many hours, like you're saying, that you don't even notice you're doing it after a while.
Well, that happens you probably get this. You'll be talking to somebody and they'll think, oh, that's weird. You're the same person that I saw do the show.
Yeah.
Meaning they assume that you become a different person.
Yes.
You'll do bits for people endlessly in like an airport or at like a Taco Bell. People will be like, why is he doing? Why aren't you this like serious, quiet man in your regular life?
Now and then I'm imagining Scott Ian from Anthrax never wanting to speak to
oh,
you
yeah.
the entire
yeah,
time.
He was trying to get away from me.
That was my whole thing with my mom when I was like, I recently guest hosted for Kimmel when he had COVID. Mm-hmm. And so they were like,
when he said he had COVID.
Yeah, when he said he had COVID.
And wanted a little downtime.
Yeah. And so they were like, you should interview your mom on video chat. So I interviewed my mom and I go, Mom, what was I like as a kid? And she goes, You were not funny. You were so serious. And then she goes, you comedians are so serious. Mm-hmm. And I was like, how many comedians do you know? You're texting Ronnie Chang?
Yeah. Turns out she knows a lot.
Are you on an email thread with Roy Wood Jr.? Like, what's going on here, Mom? What don't I know?
I do really want to talk about you. You have amassed this really cool body of work. You're a terrific storyteller and you make these one-man shows that are beautifully constructed.
Oh, thanks.
And you are not so I want to take a second here and acknowledge what you've done, which is you are not I have so much respect for stand-up, but what you do, it feels like you've carved out really something quite unique
for thanks.
Yourself. And I think that's my highest compliment to musicians and comedians, is when I say, no, this person found something, they worked hard in the dark alone, they figured it out and they came out with something that's truly them. And I think you've done that. Like you have this huge following, which is people want to hear Mike Birbiglia tell stories that are very personal to him.
No, I appreciate it. I'm lucky. I just, you know, I'm doing a new tour called Please Stop the Ride.
Mm-hmm.
It's like a whole new hour and it seems like people still want to see the next show. You know, it's weird. Every time, I always talk about this with my friend Jack Antonoff, who's from Bleachers, is a great musician. Yep. And we've been friends for like 20 years. We're both touring acts. And like when you put a tour on sale, you find out if anyone still cares.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yes.
And it's like, and so it's exciting that I've made these, like you're saying, like I made these things that, and it's kind of by accident that I made it specific. It's really just because I'm like, I'm really interested in plays and I'm really interested in movies and drama, and then also I'm really interested in stand-up. And then along the way, I started working with a theater director, Seth Barish, and I started working with theater producers, and all at a certain point, it just became a thing. Like, it wasn't an overnight thing. It just, and at a certain point, like, my biggest break was, like, in 2008, Nathan Lane agreed to present my show off-Broadway, Sleepwalk With Me, which is the first one of these. And that was helpful because it, like, sort of put me, it made people show up and think it's a piece of theater as opposed to just writing it off as stand-up.
To have
everyone belittles.
To have Nathan Lane's
it's true though.
No, but like to have Nathan Lane's imprint. I mean, he is He's a gold standard. And so for Nathan Lane to say, you all need to pay attention to Mike Birbiglia, I mean, to give yourself credit, you've had a very interesting life. You've had a lot of health issues,
mm-hmm.
and you've been really honest about them, and they're quite dramatic, and these stories you tell are riveting. They're really like, the highest compliment I can pay to someone, this sounds terrible, but Los Angeles is a very specific place, and theater in L.A. to get to theater in LA, you need to, it's not like New York, where you say, I want to go check out that show. I'm going to walk 15 blocks this way and go see the show. I heard that you were doing your show, and Greg Daniels and I were talking about it, and we decided, let's go down and see Mike Birbiglia do his show. So we drove to downtown Los Angeles to see your show. And I remember thinking, as I'm driving into downtown LA, this is commitment. Because it's like a 40-minute
it's far.
Odyssey, and you feel like it's like Lord of the Rings. Like, there's different tests along the way. And we lost the ring for a while, but we got it back, and we crossed the river, and we you know, and then finally we ended up at this wonderful theater, and we saw you, and you were worth it, definitely worth the trip.
Oh, thanks. It's weird how you end up where you are, and then also, like, you were talking about the Nathan Lane thing. It's a little bit like with Lorne Michaels with you.
Yeah.
With Late Night.
Yeah.
Because, like, I remember when that happened in the 90s, when they were like, and the new host is a writer who you do not know.
Who's replacing? Also, to put it in context, I did this bit once on Charles Grodin's show, but he was like, now, what was it like when you replaced Letterman? And I was like, what was it like? I said, imagine.
I can't even imagine.
I said, imagine. Imagine that, because, you know, Letterman, 1993, and this is back when there were very few comedy gods. You know, that it's a very different landscape now. But he's the biggest icon in comedy, and Carson's retired, and so it's like it's Letterman in my world, and then. Imagine them saying in baseball. You know, Joe DiMaggio is now retiring today, ladies and gentlemen, 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 gentlemen. He is leaving the field forever, 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 forever. Goodbye, Joe DiMaggio. Greatest legend in Yankee history, 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 history. But don't worry, ladies and gentlemen, gentlemen, gentlemen. Here comes his replacement. 19-year-old Chip Whitley. And like a bat boy comes running out. It's like, hi, everybody. I'm going to disappoint you for a while. But don't worry, worry, worry. If you stick with me. After about four or five years, you'll grow to love me, love me, love me. And that's what it felt like. And that's exactly what it was. It was fucking crazy.
Yay, boo, yay, boo.
It's lots of fun to do. If you like it, holler yay, and if you don't, but but it was absolute madness. But it's so funny that you remember that, but people that are into our stuff now, or like the podcast, whatever, and people in their 20s, they have no idea.
Yeah,
they just think, oh, you're like Mickey Mouse, you were just always around. I'm like, no, there was a there was a time when it was really rough.
I feel like the thing that's happened, this show's called The Old Man in the Pool. And by the time people, I'll say it's on Netflix now.
Yep.
It's called The Old Man in the Pool.
Because it's out right now. It's out right now.
And I had a fear about it, which was, I was like, the vision was I want to do a show that's 90 minutes of jokes and stories about death. Because I feel like if we, you know, face the thing that we're most scared of, in my case, death, that there's a catharsis for that for everybody, potentially. And I did have a fear of like, oh, I'm going to go out with this, and then some people are going to be, if they're going through, you know, sorrow or dealing with deaths of people close to them, are going to have a bad effect. And it was the opposite. Like, literally, the people who would come up to me, like, when I was doing it in L.A., like, I remember, like, this woman came up to me after the show, and she was like, I recently lost some people in my life, and I lost my dad and a bunch of people. And tonight, when I was in the audience, like, I felt like I was laughing with my dad.
Mm-hmm.
And it was like, and genuinely, like, I feel like that's the thing about being in my 40s that I did not expect. First of all, I didn't expect to be doing comedy in my 40s. Or somehow, like, in my 20s and 30s even, didn't anticipate that it would continue somehow. But I feel like the thing that I've started to realize is like, oh, it really is about them. It's about the audience. It's about their experience. And if like, if you can get people to that point, that's why I'm excited that it's on Netflix now, because it's like, oh, well, maybe it'll have that effect with, you know, the hundreds of millions of people who are able to get to Netflix.
It's funny because, and this is a compliment again, hard to categorize you, because you are very funny and you are a comedian and you are doing stand-up comedy, but it's also not stand-up comedy because you're telling stories. And we've talked about this somewhat. I know you, and you mentioned your mom. I know your mom was a major influence on you.
Yeah.
Because like my parents, she comes from this Irish storytelling tradition. And I just knew that I grew up in a similar kind of situation where telling stories and being able to make something that happened to you funny was sort of just a way of life. It's how you it's how you grew up. It wasn't even thought of as a possible profession, right?
Yeah, it's like it's definitely not. I mean, I grew up outside of Worcester. Mm-hmm. I didn't even grow up outside of Boston. Like people don't even understand when I explain where I live. I'm like Central Massachusetts. They're like, why would anyone live there? In the middle.
Yep.
In the middle.
In Shrewsbury, Massachusetts, which I love. And I just went back there recently. I love it. But it's also like no one in the town thought show business was a job that anyone even had.
Right.
I mean,
right.
It was an outrageous thought. I feel like even when I go home now, it's like, and my mom's a great storyteller. You know, and my siblings, my two sisters, Gina and Patty, my brother, Joe, they're a riot. And like the most fun is, my wife always comments on this, is that when I'm home, it's not the dinner, the Christmas dinner that's funny. It's like the 11, 12 at night, 1 a.m. sitting around the kitchen aisle.
Kitchen.
Yeah.
Kitchen.
And just telling stories about kids you grew up with and what's going on with everybody and what's this person up to. And like, and that's like, I'm getting choked up even saying it's like, weirdly, that's my favorite thing to do.
Yeah. Well,
be
it's
with
also,
people you love and just tell stories about things.
Right. But I think you've done a really good job of replicating that there's an alchemy that happens specifically around the kitchen island, or for us, I still see it when I go home and my parents are still with us. It's so funny. Mulaney, last time I was talking to him and I mentioned that my dad is 94, and he said, I think it's, I forget how he said it because his diction is so perfect, his word choice, but he just said, I think it's like some like unseemly or silly that a man your age still has his father. And I was like, yeah. No, but it was, I could kind of see like, oh, come on, Conan.
Yeah.
You're ancient. So and you're saying, I just saw my dad? That's ridiculous. But I kind of knew what he was saying. But
I think he said, was he like, it's not dignified.
It's almost not dignified. Yeah, like, not dignified. Stop. Oh, stop that.
Yeah.
Oh, stop that, Conan. That's ridiculous. But I go back and see my folks, and it's the same house I grew up in Brookline. And there's that round table that's still there, and I'm sitting at that same table, and all that stuff comes back, which is, oh, this is where I really cut my teeth. This is where everything else has been a refinement of that. You're just refining and adjusting, but the basic concept of how it all works happens around your kitchen table. That's when it happens, or it happens around that island. And you're right. It happens at 11 o'clock at night when people are letting their guard down a little bit and telling stories, and you've been able to translate that. I mean, I don't want to give anything away from your show, but you, and you can tell me if this is cool to talk about or not, but you start your show, this one, with a very personal story about something that happened to you like 6 years ago.
You mean the doctor's appointment?
Yes.
Yeah. So I went for my annual checkup, and the doctor asked me to do the pulmonary test, which is you blow into the tube and there's a ball in it, simulates blowing out a candle, which is the joke is, which is why I call it the birthday cake test. It tells you how many birthday cakes you have left. And so I basically did it. And then the doctor's just like looking at the screen attached. He goes, go ahead and do it. You know, I was like, I did it. You know, and then basically like they were like, you have to do cardio 5 days a week. I was like, nobody does cardio 5 days a week. They're like, a lot of people do. I'm like, I don't think professional athletes do cardio 5 days a week. They're like, professional athletes definitely do cardio 5 days a week. We talk about this for about 45 minutes. We agree to disagree. And but it was, it led me down this rabbit hole of different doctor's appointments. And it's a little bit whack-a-mole where like you fix one thing and then you're drinking too much juice and then your blood sugar goes up. I got diagnosed with type 2 diabetes, and it's like kind of a, it's a roller coaster of things. And it's like, Yeah. So the show really deals with like mortality and this idea of like, there's a certain point where you're like, oh, I always heard that phrase growing up, like over the hill, that would always be at the Spencer Gifts, like, you know, giving people greeting cards. You're over the hill. I didn't even know what it meant.
Right.
Till I got on the hill. And I'm like, oh, there's natural causes. They're not close, but they're coming. You know what I mean? But it's like, yeah, it's. How's your experience with that been, like aging, where you just go like, oh, wow. Have you had that? Was it shocking to you?
Well, you know, yeah, I had we talked about it on the podcast a bunch, but I turned 60 in April. And it's just funny because knock wood, I feel great. I think I take care of myself and everything, but you do start to, that's a number, and not in a bad way, but you start to think, oh, there's a finite amount of this.
Yes, yes.
And we spend so much of our lives, and you can probably relate to this too, which is I had like a such a big part of my career where I just felt like I was the new guy.
Yes.
And then it turned so quickly into,
oh my gosh.
Into
yes.
You did a great job, old man.
Yes.
You know, and people on the street are like, you know, they're super nice to me, but they act like I've been around as long as they've been alive doing foolishness. And so it felt like it flipped very quickly into good job, old man. And I'm thinking, wait a minute. The part where I was the young guy trying to prove myself seemed to go on forever.
Yes.
And then it turns very quickly. And I know you've talked about a similar thing.
I had it with Taylor Tomlinson, who we just found out is going to be the next late night host after Colbert.
Yeah. Yeah.
She's hilarious. And she came on my podcast. She goes, I used to watch you in middle school.
Oh. Isn't that funny? Isn't that funny?
It's a middle school, you say.
Isn't that
and
hilarious?
And where was that?
Then? Yeah, yeah.
When was this middle school? When does that take place?
But no, there are routinely people that work for me, and I'm like, when were you born? And they're like, you know, 1998. I'm like, what? How are you allowed to be out away from home? How can you be allowed to leave your house?
How are you allowed to leave your house?
Do your parents know where you are? They're like, 1998, Conan? Fucking wake
someone
up.
Someone dial 911.
This child has wandered, you know, are we employing you illegally? Let me get this straight. You were born while Clinton was president?
Yeah.
And you're allowed to walk around in workplaces? But I mean, it's so wrong, but yes. And by the way, just shout out to Taylor Tomlinson, who I adore. She is hilarious and fearless.
Oh, yeah.
Fearless. I got to tour with her a bunch of years ago, and she was, I mean, I think she was very young when she was on this tour. I remember the first night she walked out, and it's a big venue and everything, and she just had absolutely, she had that 1,000-yard stare of, yep, I'm going to go do this now and kill. And I was like, good Lord.
Yeah.
Remind me to... buy stock in Taylor Tomlinson.
So you and I had similar, like, Irish Catholic, like, Massachusetts upbringing. Did your parents say, I love you? Because I talk in the special a lot about, we weren't like an I love you. And we all love each other. There's no confusion, but we don't say I love you. We say take care.
Oh. I know.
And it's not the same.
Take care of oneself. It's not even yourself.
It's not even you.
Take care of oneself.
Take care of one. Wait, one who?
Someone.
Well, I'm going to double down for our listeners, and we've probably mentioned this before, but you say you come from Worcester, Shrewsbury. That's where my entire family comes from.
Oh, yes.
And then my parents, when I was, just before I was born, like they migrate to the Boston area from central Massachusetts. But really, all my DNA and my whole history is Worcester, Massachusetts. Yeah. And that's where all my relatives live. That's where I went when I was a kid. We went there on Christmases, Thanksgiving. So you and I are made up of exactly the same stuff.
You might have even gone to what I talk about in the special, which is the YMCA pool in Worcester. That's where
I did not go there, no.
My doctor recommended I go to the YMCA pool. And I say, when I was a kid, my mom took me to the YMCA pool and I hated everything about it. It was wet, sweaty. I go, it smelled like, you know, when you're a kid and someone breaks their cast and they let you smell under the cast. It's like if that smell became a building and then someone just sprayed it down with overchlorinated water.
I love that you said you let someone smell under your cast.
Get in line.
Line up now. No pushing, no shoving. That's right. Only $10 a pop.
Line them up, kids.
Hey, did you hear? Brubiglia is letting us smell underneath his cast. What? Jesus, fuck, get out of the way. No, I know exactly what you're talking about. We had a place in Brookline, which we all called the Tank, and it was a giant, it was a bunch of swimming pools. And man, there's a distinctive body odor mixed with a powerful chlorine that's probably no longer legal.
Yeah.
That removes your skin after three swims.
Yes.
I remember that quite well.
So I had that, and my daughter broke her foot this summer, beginning of the summer. And I didn't realize when your daughter breaks your foot, it's like your whole family breaks their foot. Didn't do a lot of foot-based activities this summer. But she was, we were at this place called Urban Air, which is like one of these places where there's like 100 trampolines in like a warehouse.
Yeah.
And then you walk in and they make you sign a release form that's about, you know, 40 pages long. And it's just like, and your daughter will break her foot. And you're like, Mike Birbiglia, you know, and there will be many injuries sustained. Mike Birbiglia, you know, you may not make it out alive. Mike Birbiglia, you know, and then we go in and then sure enough, you know, breaks her foot. And of course now, you know, she did the thing that it seems obvious. Someone's going to get hurt. This is crazy.
Right.
But now I can't sue, but I can talk about it comedically on podcasts.
Yes, which is, in a way, the better revenge.
Like, for example, I don't know if Urban Air should be a business. That's a joke, of course. I don't. Of course they should be a business. That's the it's Urban Air is dangerous for all participants, which is a joke I'm working on. Of course it should be safe for all participants. I'm sure it is.
Hey, we're doing an ad today for Urban Air.
This has been it for the last 15 minutes.
That was our ad for Urban Air. Yeah. Urban Air, are you tired of a body that's free of injury?
Hey, Keurig coffee drinkers. Need a cold coffee with a bold flavor? Dunkin' Cold K-Cup pods were specially crafted for cold coffee. Brew over ice straight out of the Keurig coffee maker for smooth, delicious Dunkin' taste you know and love. Find your next Dunkin' Cold coffee in the roasted coffee aisle.
Life is a highway, and on it there will be many chicken sandwiches. But there's only one McCrispy, so go ahead and hit the turn signal if you know about this juicy gem of a detour.
Let's do mid-episode vibe check. How are we doing with the episode?
I'm having a great time. I'm loving it. The person we have to ask is the guru. He sits in the back, sort of like George Steinbrenner. He's just sitting back there. He owns us all. Adam Sachs.
He looks exactly like George Steinbrenner.
Yeah. If George Steinbrenner had a child with Michael Cera. But it was all Michael Cera.
This is
and no George Steinbrenner.
The second day in a row you've called me Michael Cera. So it's I don't know what I've done. It's maybe my haircut.
You know what it is? I'm rewatching with my son. We rewatch and rewatch and rewatch Arrested Development because I always wanted my son to watch the very best comedic stuff. And he started watching Arrested Development, and we always watch it over and over and over again. And we do it, and we've been doing it a lot lately. And I've been looking at Michael Cera in that show and thinking, oh my God, it's Adam Sachs.
I can't wait for the Daily Beast article that's like, and that's when he said, I look like Michael Cera again. And that's when he said, I look like George Steinbrenner.
You don't look like George Steinbrenner. You have the... Sometimes in the back, I know that one frown from you and I know that I'm gone. So, yeah, he's
controls
us all.
How's it going?
Oh, it's going great.
Okay,
good. This is like this is exactly what the podcast should be.
Yeah.
This is not always, but should be, and could be. Often is, but not always is.
Does anyone have any notes so far?
Well, you do. You came in with you came in with 50 notes.
My only note is that you said mid episode check, and we are actually at wrap time.
I know.
But not that we have to. I'm just saying.
No, we can just keep going. That's how much fun it is. This will be one of those long ones.
It's
zipping
along.
Yeah, we can just lose the ads because I don't think they're paying us anyway. Once they listen to them, so the Netflix special. It's out. How long does it take you to work on this on the next show?
Yeah, so I'm about
first
a
of all,
year
you need,
into the
you
next
need
show.
Some stuff to happen to you, right? Do you need me to like shoot you in the shoulder, which would give
you need me to shoot you in the shoulder?
No, but I mean, can you imagine?
That's when Conan said to me, "Do you need me to shoot you in the shoulder?" And well, sure, Conan is funny sometimes, but this was a time where it didn't seem like he was making a joke.
I would use a 22. I would use a lower caliber.
Oh, yeah. You would kill him. God. You're acting like you're a marksman, but you don't shoot.
Oh, come
on. You go
on.
Shooting, you're going to kill him.
Which 50-50 chance he gets killed.
Okay.
But you get a ton of material.
Okay. So,
I come on at the end of the show and we hug. That's a big show.
By the way, that's another handoff that I think that we could pull off in 2024 is if you end up, because you were talking about going out and doing a whole bunch of live dates, maybe even stand up.
Right.
If you do that, I want to pop into some of those shows.
I would love to have you do that.
I would love it.
Well, you're saying that now.
It'd be my dream.
Would it?
Conan, all the jokes aside.
Oh, no.
And you have to deal with this all the time. This is the bane of your existence. There's a generation of us comedians who view you as the Buddha of comedy.
Oh, wow. Okay. All right. Well.
You're old.
And apparently fat.
Yeah.
I'm apparently fat.
Yeah.
And old.
I'm sorry I ruined it.
No, you actually.
I'm sorry I
no,
ruined
no,
it.
No, Sona. Sona, you that was exactly so what
Davis
I needed.
Paula Davis on my way in gave me a compliment. And because I've known Paula forever since your late night days.
Paula's been with me 30 years.
Yeah, and she gave me a compliment. And I basically said, you know, if you stick around long enough in show business, eventually they let you just stay. And she goes, you and Conan are the best at batting away compliments. Yeah. But you are. You're the, you know.
Oh, well, thank you very much.
So, yeah, that would be.
It doesn't process. I don't take it for granted. Like seeing you last night and Jimmy and Jesus Christ, Marty Short, who is funny in a way that always makes me question, like, how can anybody be that funny in so many ways.
Yeah.
So like run into you guys and just be joking around. And then on the ride home, realize that I get to be around all these very funny people who are really creative and it's nice. What a fucking joy.
This is how much I idolize Martin Short to where at dinner and I don't eat onions or tomatoes.
Mm-hmm. And you went to an Italian restaurant.
And I get mocked. I get mocked by my family, including my daughter and 8-year-old daughter because she eats more stuff than I do. But with Marty Short, I'm like, I'm just going full onions, tomatoes. You know what I mean? I'm just,
right.
I can't be that person.
Well, also, there is a moment where you realize you've made a mistake around Martin Short. Because he is, you know, when you walk, if you're in a museum or something and you're in a room alone and you're really still and then you move slightly, a little red light goes up, those motion sensors, and the red light's just going to register movement and they can pick up the slightest movement. Marty Short is one of those for someone making a mistake.
There's a few people like that. Bill Hader's like that.
Yep.
Where you have to be aware that whatever you're saying or doing is being clocked with a deep sensitivity. He does an impression of me that's so cruel that my wife Jenny loves, which is this is the whole impression. He goes, "But it was my car." That's the whole impression. It's nothing that I say. It's nothing I've said in any joke, but it was my car. Bill is just beyond. He's on another planet.
Yeah.
Of funny.
But also just knowing that you're around these people who have a superpower that they'll notice something the slightest.
Yeah.
I misspoke slightly, or I had this little tick, and they're like, ah, delicious.
Yeah. You're like that.
Yeah, you are like that.
Not at all. Oh. Anyway, moving on. Not at all. And I love you
both. But I value that too. Like, I feel so lucky. Like, my first taste of that, in addition to like my own family, like you're saying, was when I got to college and I was like, is there a sketch comedy group? Because I wanted to write mm-hmm. comedy. Like, on late night. And they said, there isn't, but there's an improv group. I don't know what that is. And I auditioned, I got in. And when I got in, I was like, oh, these are 10 people who are like that, who are just like, we're going to make fun of everything. We're going to do impressions of everything. We're going to be very annoying, but also kind of amazing. And those are like some of my closest friends to this day.
I've always thought, and this goes for everybody here, like, I always tell my kids that the journey is finding your people. You set off into the world, and then it's just collecting people that, you know, inspire you, whatever, charge you in some way. And then at the end, it is like one of those movies, those travelogue movies where the person heads out in the beginning, and at the end, they've got like this group of people that have different powers, but they've befriended them along the way. I don't know. It
brings me to my final point, which is that Conan and I have finally found each other.
Oh,
and Copods is going to be a huge success.
Yeah, I love it.
I don't know.
No, these are.
What do you mean you don't know?
I just crank out these pods, man.
Uh-huh. One bag of dust.
Yeah,
their cost to ratio. I mean, it's incredible.
Huge in Brazil. Oh. These are huge in Brazil.
Look, I'm fine with him taking a dive on that. I feel like I don't want you.
That's
to have
a joint venture.
Oh. Yeah, joint venture meaning you put up most of the cash.
I put up 90% of the money.
Oh no,
and incur most of the risk. Yeah.
No. I say no. Don't.
Yeah. All right. Well, Buddha's not taking a risk over here.
Buddha's sitting on his fat ass.
I'm going to start using that. Buddha! That's not something Buddha would say.
So if you're at the end now,
mm-hmm.
so then what's the thing you'd say after I would exit? Because now we're friendly. We go, oh, that was fun. That was good.
Okay, so we're going to pretend you're not here.
Yep,
for a second. Okay, pretend that Mike just left and we're going to leave him on, but we take these off.
Mm-hmm. I have to go to the bathroom.
So do I.
You always have to go to the bathroom.
That's what we would first say.
Okay, yeah. But then let's say it's after that and we're just sitting here.
Okay.
Get a quick snack.
Yes, you guys get snacks. I'm trying to get us past that to the part where we talk about Mike Birbiglia.
Okay.
Oh, wow. What'd you guys think?
Well, I really liked him because he had a Team Sona mug and he had questions for us. That's why I really liked it, because of that. He had me at the beginning.
Yeah.
Well, I already was a huge fan, but being in room with the person, he's so smiley and that mm-hmm. makes you feel so good.
Yeah.
I loved him.
Yeah.
You loved him.
I loved him. And I don't say take care. I'm saying I loved him.
Oh, that's nice.
I'm a big fan and I really admire his body of work.
Yeah.
And I think he's a true comedic artist. However,
uh-oh.
Oh.
He read personal texts between me and him without my permission. And that felt like a violation.
Uh-huh.
That felt like, and now I'm supposed to text him again and trust him
when
I'm in Brooklyn?
No.
How am I supposed to trust him now that he doesn't then go on Stern or some other?
Or the
hey
Daily
guys,
Beast.
What's going on? I'm back. Hey! You fucking killed it.
Oh, thank you so much.
Killed
I thought it was fun.
Hey.
I loved it.
Oh, and the text thing was fantastic.
Did you like that? Because I was going to maybe ask you before, but I thought it would be more spontaneous in the moment.
No, you don't need to ask.
All right. Thanks, you guys.
All
Appreciate
right.
It.
Good. So anyway, remove the text part. Because I come off like cranking out the pods. I just sound like a prick.
Sorry, I left my notes.
Hey, how are you?
Wait, did you say that you didn't like the text part?
I wish there was more. Yeah. And I said, double it. Have it play twice in one podcast. Okay. Yeah. So no, killer. Okay. Killer.
All right. Thanks so much.
But you're going for sure now, right? Do you mind if I walk you out and then lock the door?
Yeah, no, absolutely.
I'm just gonna shut the door. Okay. Here we go. And then I'm locking it and double bolting it.
Now I want to change my opinion. He's a little pushy. Too.
He's pushy and he keeps coming back in.
Yeah.
Wait a minute. Someone got a hydraulic drill?
Hey guys!
Oh, Jesus!
I left my glasses.
You weren't even wearing glasses.
I know. Yeah. I thought I should start.
Oh. That's a $35,000 door, asshole. Oh, now I know how you really feel, Buddha. You demanded I call you Buddha in the interview. That's the part I left out. I told you if you could mention in that I'm a comedy Buddha and that you all feel that way, I'd really appreciate it, and you'd get $500 worth of coffee pods.
Well, they never showed up. Thanks for nothing, assholes.
Ladies and gentlemen, you just heard real improvisation. None of this was planned, and yet it happened. Not a fan.
Not a fan of you. Don't like you. Don't like Sona. I'm okay on Adam.
We're getting you a Team Adam mug. By the way,
he's okay on you.
We're getting. Let's get a mug. Let's get a mug.
Not mentioned.
Let's get one mug made that says Matt Gourley and Mike Birbiglia are okay with Adam Sachs. What about that?
No. That's going to sell.
That's going to be our biggest seller.
Yeah, fill it full of copods.
Cobra Biggs pods.
So seriously, I'm going to make
rolls
this.
Rolls off your tongue.
I'm making
Cobra
this
Biggs
for real.
Pods.
Can you for real?
Do you or do you not want to purchase Cobra Biggs
do
pods?
Do not. Do not.
But let me ask you again.
Do not.
Let me phrase it. Let
okay,
me give you the
how did you get back in here?
One bean. One
leave
bag of
the
dust.
Room.
Leave the room.
Cobra Biggs.
Security.
There's no security here.
Cobra Biggs pods.
There's no security.
Get him out.
Are you putting the door back on or are you taking it off?
I came through the ceiling.
Oh my God.
What's happening? He came to the ceiling with Rip Taylor energy. Oh, I came to the ceiling. He's got confetti. Mike Birbiglia, thank you for, man, this was a gift. Thank you so much.
Thank
Seriously,
you.
This was lovely.
This is lovely. I'll see you in Brooklyn.
Conan O'Brien needs a friend. With Conan O'Brien, Sona Movsesian, and Matt Gourley. Produced by me, Matt Gourley. Executive produced by Adam Sachs, Nick Liao, and Jeff Ross at Team Coco, and Colin Anderson and Cody Fisher at Earwolf. Theme song by The White Stripes. Incidental music by Jimmy Vivino. Take it away, Jimmy. Our supervising producer is Aaron Blair, and our associate talent producer is Jennifer Samples. Engineering by Eduardo Perez. Additional production support by Mars Melnick. Talent booking by Paula Davis, Gina Batista, and Britt Kahn. You can rate and review this show on Apple Podcasts, and you might find your review read on a future episode. Got a question for Conan? Call the Team Coco hotline at 669-587-2847 and leave a message. It, too, could be featured on a future episode. And if you haven't already, please subscribe to Conan O'Brien Needs a Friend wherever fine podcasts are downloaded.
Hear that? It's the call of the Crave. And when the Crave calls, you know what to do. Try the $5 bacon bundle, because the only thing better than a White Castle slider is a White Castle slider topped with crispy hickory smoked bacon. So pick any two of either the bacon cheese slider, 1921 bacon cheese slider, or chicken bacon ranch slider. And also get a small fry for just $5 with the $5 bacon bundle. White Castle. Follow your Crave.
Hey, Keurig coffee drinkers. Need a cold coffee with a bold flavor? Dunkin' Cold K-Cup pods were specially crafted for cold coffee. Brew over ice straight out of the Keurig coffee maker for smooth, delicious Dunkin' taste you know and love. Find your next Dunkin' cold coffee in the roasted coffee aisle.